This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Here's San Francisco and the incomparable forward, Rick Barry.
Behind the end line, they burn him again, and it's Barry.
And now Rick Barry, the league's leading scorer. What a superb basketball player he is.
Hi, everybody. Rick Barry here with Warriors 24 and my sidekick, Cyrus Satches. Yes, the surf man himself is once again with us. No injuries to report. Probably the weather isn't really good for surfing right now, so he's no. Joining us. I know if you had your choice between doing the show and surfing, you'd probably be surfing, but that's okay.
It's all right, but I love doing this show. But I love doing this show so much that I would at least debate it in my mind before deciding on surfing. So,
okay. Hey, but the thing is, life, folks, you got to have a passion in life. I don't care what it is. When you get older, you still always need to have a passion. Doesn't matter what it might be. Well, unless it's against the law, then you're crazy. But yeah, have a passion, because life is so much more enjoyable when you get to do something you really love.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, I mean, I love basketball. So I was lucky enough to be able to have my passion and get paid to do it without three zeros that they forgot on my contract. I got into long drive and golf, which is great. And
yes.
Then I found fly fishing, and now I found pickleball.
Which you won a tournament recently.
Yeah, right? I won a tournament. I played into 50 plus. So I was playing against guys 20 something years younger than I am. And I had a great partner though. We wound up winning down in Punta Gorda, Florida. So my first real official, I played in one little local thing here, but that's the first official tournament I played in, and wound up coming away victorious, which is always good, because, you know, Cyrus, I still got the competitive juices flowing. If I'm going to out and do something, I'm like, oh, you know, it's just social. I said, well, if it's social, I don't want to do it. I want to play. I want to compete.
Right.
What's the social stuff? You know, give me a break.
Right.
You know, join the social club or something. Not when it comes to sports. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about. You remember last show? We actually forgot, because it's tough when you get old, but you're young, so you have no excuse. I do. is that we forgot to talk about Zion coming out.
We did. But let's get started. What about him? How's he doing so far?
Well, I mean, it's impressive. I mean, the thing that was impressive about that first game, even with the limited minutes, is that him knocking down the threes, because obviously the big thing about him was that he can't really shoot the ball from the outside, and he needs to be able to do that, and he's an inside guy and powerful guy, but he showed that he has the ability to do that, and if he can continue to work at that and have the ability to be a threat from even, you know, mid-range jumper and even shooting the threes, that changes the whole dynamic of his game. It takes him to another level.
Right. And so far, very impressive. And, you know, he attributed that three-point shooting to the fact that he was hurt for so long that he had nothing to do except practice his shot.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's you don't have to do jump shoot. You practice your set shot. And hopefully somebody was there making sure that he was doing it fundamentally sound, because the worst thing in the world that you could do is go out and practice it incorrectly, and all you're doing is grooving a bad habit, and then it's almost impossible sometimes to try to break that habit. So
all in the corner,
as far as learning a balance and things about coming down when he jumped, and movement and things of that nature, because of his size and some of the things that he was doing that they thought was detrimental as far as this potential injury potential is concerned. Mm-hmm. So all good stuff. You know, very likable guy. He's one of those guys, kind of like a Magic Johnson, has that great smile, you know, good looking guy. And he's going to, you know, he's going to be amazing. If he hopefully he'll stay healthy.
So let's hope so.
I love watching greatness. I really do. And so it'd be fun to see how he progresses in his career, because he does some pretty amazing things. I don't think I've never seen anybody actually his size with that kind of body. Like I said, LeBron James is a man child. Well, he's in that same category. He is really kind of like a man child, just an amazing physical specimen. So good luck to him and see what he's able to do. And I guess that some interesting stuff going on in the trade situation as well.
Yeah.
Talking about all of those things.
Oh, we got a lot
on with the deadline. We could spend the entire show just talking about that without anything else. But even talking about those with the Pelicans is that I guess the latest is that Drew Holiday is supposedly his name was out there, but that he's going to be staying is what they're saying. But this is all speculation, and you hear all the rumors. And the bottom line is that it's rare that a trade at this time of the season winds up being something that helps turn a team into a champion. I don't know if anybody has any stats on that the one trade that somebody made helped them become a champion. I know
a mid-season trade as opposed to the off-season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of any names.
Well, some of the names and some of these things that are doing here. I mean, most people, you can't even pronounce their names, and a lot of people never even heard of. Who? Who's getting traded? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I mean, some of these guys there, the names you never even heard of. I mean, that reported big 14 deal involving the biggest Nick Capella is the guy that they're talking about, that the Rockets are going to be getting rid of him. And also if this Nene, if that goes through, I mean, what are they doing for big guys?
It went through, and you're right. Those two players, let me pull that up right now for the official.
Okay. So they official, names. So it's officially done now.
But it is officially done. It is a 14, 12-player deal.
It's crazy.
It is absolutely crazy. So the Rockets right now have a very small team.
Yeah.
PJ Tucker is their starting center at this point in time. But I did see a report today. And again, the trading deadline, we're recording this on a Wednesday, is tomorrow. I don't know the time that the deadline expires.
3:00, I think, Eastern.
So the one name I'm hearing, though, that the Rockets are pursuing, and I never understand where they get all these resources to make these trades. I could have swore they've given up every first-round pick for the next 10 years, but somehow they still have assets, and they're pursuing Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, they want a first-round pick, the Cavs, for him.
Is that? I don't think that's worth it, but that's kind of crazy.
As I said, this is a guy that all of a sudden he's become he's worthy of a first-round draft pick. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Probably for most teams, it would be worth it because most of them screw up on their first round picks anyway. So why not?
I agree. I totally agree.
No, but I don't know necessarily think that he's certainly the answer to them. I don't think that Tristan Thompson was a major factor in the Cavaliers championship. he played and he did well, but I mean, a first round pick, who knows? I mean, that's like these decisions that they have to make and they come up with some of these players. But all the guys in that 4-player trade, I mean, there's guys over there that, I mean, how many people know about Noah Vonleh? I mean, seriously.
Never heard of him until this trade.
I mean, seriously.
Never heard of him until this trade.
And what are the Nuggets going to do? What happens for the other guys in that team? They got to be wondering, oh, my God, what's happening to my job? Because they've got 4 guys, I think, didn't they, in that trade?
Well, I mean, the big names were obviously Clint Capella to the Hawks. And then Robert Covington, I think, was an equally big name. And that's who the Rockets acquired. I think the Rockets actually, I thought this was a great deal for them. I know they don't have a center right now. They did get Jordan Bell. Of Warriors fame, who I think would actually be a great center.
But what good is he? Huh?
I think he would, for that team, I think he's a great fit. I mean, think of how many lobs Draymond and other players were throwing up at him. He's very athletic.
Yeah.
Defense is a specialty.
And that's what he needs to do because that's all he's going to get because he's never going to see the ball otherwise.
That's it. But Robert
offensive rebounds and lobs.
Yeah, but I mean, Robert Covington is a player I think fits them very nicely. I think if PJ Tucker can handle that center position, granted he's 6'6", this is the best shot. If the Rockets don't pull it off now, blow that team up. You know, I can't see them doing anything beyond this year with this current roster. But so the Rockets got Covington, Jordan Bell, the Hawks got the two names you mentioned, Clint Capella and Nene. The Timberwolves were involved in this deal.
Yeah, I'm saying, but the Nuggets are getting all these other people. I mean, the Nuggets are getting a lot of people. So if you're one of the players in that team, how do you feel about all these new guys coming in? What's going to happen to your job if you're not one of the starters, right?
Because Shabazz Napier was acquired. I don't know who Keita Bates Diop is. Noah Vonleh, never heard of him.
Well, Gerald Green is probably, he can jump out. Yes. Gerald Green is incredible physically. I mean, he's one of those guys everybody got hung up on his athleticism. This guy is scary athleticism as far as, you know, jumping and doing things. I've met Gerald, but he's injured. So who
knows? Injured. I mean, yeah. And so you have a lot of these players who, you're right, I don't know what's going to happen with Denver. This could be the start of another deal for them. But the Minnesota aspect is important because for a lot of days now, Rick, there were a lot of rumors circulating that. And Rick, you and I have been doing this podcast since, what, August? We've been saying from day one, Andrew Wiggins is the likely target for this Warriors team. And supposedly...
You've been saying that. I haven't said that. Don't be throwing me into the freaking breach there.
Saying that. But, I mean, you haven't really disagreed when I say that because it seems
I said that I just thought that he's not a really great three-point shooter. He's not a bad three-point shooter. But, I mean, with the Warriors and doing things the way that they play, you really want to have a guy that can shoot the three really well. That would really be even, you know, a terrific advantage for him. Although he can do a lot of other things. But then again, it's not like they need to bring somebody in to give him huge amounts of scoring. But that threat of those three-point shooting, because that was the one thing with KD. Mm-hmm. You had three guys that could crush you from out there.
True.
Who are all superior three-point shooters. You know, who were all up there and, you know, 40% or more for two of the guys. And, you know, KD was up there a lot. So, I mean, that's so hard. You can't defend that.
No. But, I mean, we were speaking more on a logical level in terms of what the perfect fit would be. Who can you get D'Angelo Russell for? I mean, there's only a handful of teams that want him, right? And those are the only teams you could actually trade with. And then what assets do they have to give back? So that's why I've been saying from the start, and that's why I didn't really hear you oppose me when I'm saying this, that that Wiggins is the likely target, and we're hearing more of that now. But, I mean, look, from 3-4 months ago to now, a lot has changed. I think 3-4 months ago, Andrew Wiggins' stock was much higher because 3-4 months ago, I'm pretty sure if you said D'Angelo Russell for Wiggins straight up, not many people would argue with you. Now, Warriors fans are in an uproar if that's a trade that actually happens. And the Warriors are asking for multiple first-round picks now from the Timberwolves in addition to Andrew Wiggins. And supposedly that's why this 14 trade happened. The Timberwolves did acquire numerous draft picks as part of the compensation for giving that talent up, for giving up Covington. So the Warriors are on standby. I mean, Rick, in your opinion, I've been battling with a lot of people on social media, and we could break this down right now. I think Andrew Wiggins would be a great fit for this team. He does not have the three-point shooting, you're right. But neither does Ben Simmons, and you thought he would be a decent fit. I know Wiggins doesn't have his ball handling, but he has the size, he has the explosiveness, and he's never been coached. I want to see Wiggins with a decent head coach and a championship culture and see what happens with this guy. I mean, this is a former number one pick who, from a physical perspective, from the athletic talent perspective, is phenomenal. I don't think anyone's disagreeing with that. But a lot of people are hating on him primarily because of the fact that he does not have a great three-point shot and because of the fact that he's never won. But in Minnesota, who's winning there? I don't know. What do you think? I think Wiggins would be great. I want him. Bring him. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's playing well and doing some good things right now. But then again, he does a lot of stuff with his one-on-one stuff all the time. And he has to be able to perform under the Warriors'
system,
offensive strategy,
yes,
which is moving without the ball, being smart and doing things. That's why you got to really evaluate and see, because is he willing to come in? And right now he's like, you know, one of the two guys, right? Mm-hmm. Well, he might not be one of the two guys if he comes here.
No, he would be the third guy.
Thank you. So is he willing to do that in order to have a chance to perhaps be on a winning team? But I still think that they got to find a rim protector. I mean, get somebody. Get somebody that can help you there. I don't know. I mean, who knows what's going on in the world today with these guys? I mean, a lot of these guys are free agents. They're not everybody's locked into long-term contracts. You don't know what's going to materialize. And I just think they really need to have somebody like that. I really do believe that's true. They need a rim protector. They got to protect the rim. They had to have somebody there that can block some shots and do the kind of things you need to do inside. A bigger guy. I'd just like to see a bigger guy, to be honest with you.
So the Warriors did not have that bigger guy, though, with the exception of maybe Durant. Did Durant fill that role in your opinion?
Well, he was a good blocker. He was good weak side defense. Come in, yeah. He can block some shots. I mean, and some of the other people they had did a nice job. I mean, when they had, you know, a Bogut, he did a nice job of rim protecting. It doesn't necessarily have to be a superstar kind of player. They don't necessarily need to have somebody to score tons of points for him in there. I'm saying somebody get you 10 points, 10 rebounds, and block some shots.
Right.
I mean, that's the kind of player I like to see added to this team.
Because, Rick, I mean, and tell me if you agree with me or not. What you really need to focus on for a championship roster, for a team that is aspiring for greatness, is that those five players who are in the game for those last 6 minutes, right? They're the ones who dictate what's going to happen in this game at the end. And you look at the Warriors starting five, not the starting five, I'm sorry, the five, they've had the Hamptons five, they had their death lineup, and they didn't really have that shot blocker. You know, they didn't really, I mean, I guess Durant could kind of fit that for the later versions, but those early teams, Draymond was the center for that death lineup. So I'm looking at the, ideally for next year, who are the five that are going to be finishing the games for the Warriors right now? You know, Steph is going to finish, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Andre Iguodala is likely coming back. And if he's healthy and still playing at that high level, he's probably back in there. So the question is, who's that fifth guy? Right? If it's Kevon Looney, you're not winning a championship with that lineup, right? I mean, is that safe to say? That is not a championship lineup if Looney's your fifth guy. So I think if Andrew Wiggins is that fifth guy, I think he's an upgrade from Harrison Barnes. And he could fulfill a similar role if they coach him and teach him to share the ball and play defense. He could be that guy. That is in my opinion. I did come up with a list of the teams that the Warriors could trade with, right? These are the teams, the five teams in the NBA who would actually want D'Angelo Russell and probably need him. The Timberwolves, the Miami Heat, New York Knicks, LA Lakers, Philadelphia 76ers. All right. I can't think of any other teams. I actually went through every one, and these are the five who would realistically want D'Angelo Russell. And then you look at the players they have and who should the Warriors trade for? Well, Joel Embiid would be amazing, right? But would Philly do that? I don't know.
Doubt it.
Ben Simmons?
Well, I've told you I like Ben Simmons a lot.
I love
this team. I really do. Because and if he works on developing an outside game at all, along with his size and the way that the Warriors play, I mean, he sees the floor, he passes it, he brings it up the floor. I mean, you'd have three guys who could bring the ball up the floor and create for you. And one of them, a very tall version, you know, a 6'9" guy or 10. I mean, you have him, then you have Steph, and you also have Draymond. Because Draymond can bring it up the floor and create, and we know he gets a lot of triple-doubles at times. So you have three guys with some size. I'd like a team that doesn't rely on one guy.
Yes, agreed.
Okay, if I had my ideal team that I could put together as a coach, I would have my 1, 2, and 3 interchangeable.
That's smart. That's very smart. And in fact, the Warriors, I think, extend that to all five.
But I'm just saying, I mean, to be able to bring it up the floor, to initiate, pass the ball, create, do those kinds of things, that would be the ideal scenario, to have that. And then, you know, if you can get lucky and get a four who also can handle some and go out and shoot at some, I mean, that's great. I mean, but the three guys there, because now I can tell you right now, when I played many, many times, I knew I could run back after an offensive possession and run back to a spot on the floor and know that the guy I was guarding is going to be there. So predictable. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to be bringing it up the floor. He's going to run back to his little spot on the wing. But if you have, and I think that's one of the things that helped us some, because one of the things that I prided myself in, to get a rebound and bring it up the floor. Right? Point forward. I was the first point forward that they called. They made us the point forward. And so, yeah. And so you can be so much more explosive and so much more dynamic and so much more difficult to defend. And that's why the Warriors get good, because they started doing their different things and they're running off screens, passing, doing all those great things. And then when you have great players, I just always go back to that series against Cleveland, when Cleveland looked like they were going to get swept.
Mm-hmm.
And they, to their credit, came up with a big game at home to eliminate that. that from their resume and from their nightmares for the rest of their life. And then they come back and they're playing a great game. They get ahead of the Warriors. The Warriors come back on them, but they still don't fold. And in the third quarter, it was still anybody's game. And then all of a sudden, the two plays that changed the entire game was, I don't know if it was Steph or Clay coming off of staggered screens with the movement on the left side, coming around through the middle, screen set, popping out to the corner. And it was, I remember the first time it happened, it was J.R. Smith and LeBron. They didn't communicate. They both went out to the shooter. They passed it inside, and the big guy got a dunk.
Mm-hmm.
I forget which one of the guys it was. But that's what happens when you run that type of offense. Mm-hmm. You force the defense to make decisions, and if they don't make the right decisions, you take advantage of what happens, and you wind up getting something other than what you might have been looking for. That's why when plays are designed, it's like the ideal situation. Most plays aren't going to be run exactly how you draw them up and come to that finalization where the guy that you have gets to that spot and gets that shot. If you're running off two and three different screens and passing and moving and cutting, something else is going to materialize, and if you have smart players, you capitalize on those decisions, and you wind up getting easy baskets and things that they were never even looking for. That's basketball, the way it should be played.
Agreed, and I think Ben Simmons would be perfect. I am with you. He's even a Defensive Player of the Year candidate this year. Think of how amazing the defense.
I would just love to see them get him. But
I don't think Philly gives him up.
No, I don't think they'll give him. I don't think they'll give either one of those two up. No. I think those are the two keys to their team.
Now,
and I don't think they'll give you the one.
Now, there's a third player on Philly. What about Tobias Harris? Would you consider him?
I probably would do Wiggins over him.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. Now, I did add two more teams I didn't list originally. The Suns and the Pistons are the two other potential candidates. So here are all the names, all right? So we have Andrew Wiggins. That name's been mentioned repeatedly. What about Kyle Kuzma of the Lakers?
A young guy with some potential doing things. Wiggins showed that he's probably doing more, but then again, Wiggins is on a team where he's like number two guy,
mm-hmm.
and Kuzman is like number three or four.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he's getting an opportunity to do the kind of things that he's capable of doing.
Well, I would do that trade if they threw in Danny Green.
Danny Green's nice. Yeah.
If the Lakers offer that trade, Kuzma and Danny Green for D'Angelo, I'd strongly consider that. What about and he plays for a team I didn't mention, but Zach LaVine of the Bulls.
Yeah, but then again, this is a guy that needs the ball.
Okay. I'm with you. And then the only two other names I've come up with that in terms of a realistic player that you would trade D'Angelo Russell for is Andre Drummond. Would you do that?
I mean, I'm saying there's a guy that can score points, rebound, block some shots for mm-hmm. you, and then just, keep him out of the game until the last 2 minutes, I guess. That's
close. And then the last
brick,
and the
Brick last, Mason at the free throw line.
And then the last player, and we've talked about him previously, is DeAndre Payton of the Suns, who I think would probably be the most ideal.
Well, they could probably get him without having to give up a lot.
Yeah, but they also won't have to give up a lot to get Andrew Wiggins too. My point with all this is that there are a lot of Warriors fans out there who are very delusional in thinking that a Warriors backcourt with D'Angelo Russell and Stephen Curry could win a championship. They cannot. There's no way that's going to work. It's too small.
There's no way that D'Angelo Russell could stay on this team and have them be a contender for the NBA title.
Agreed.
And that's not taking anything away from Russell. I mean, he's a talented guy, but he needs to be on a different team because they already have a better version of him.
Yes. Exactly. Right? Exactly. No, you're 100% right. Yeah. And then you have people who think that it's okay for the Warriors to wait until the summer, that D'Angelo Russell's value will not diminish in any way. And that to me is asinine because he could get hurt at any point. And if he does, his value drops. He could regress. His value drops.
Right now he's playing at a very high level and there definitely is interest there. And this may be the time to do it if they can get something right for him. Otherwise, it does become a gamble. I agree 100% with you. It becomes a crapshoot because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if he's going to continue to perform at that high level. You don't know if he's going to get some kind of an injury that will impact his performance. You don't know if he's going to get an injury that could be really very serious. They got enough of those that they're dealing with already. You know, they've had their three key players, three top players, all sustained serious injuries, two of them major injuries.
Yeah. So, and I don't understand this, the logic behind, well, they can wait until the summer. He's young. His value is not going to go down. No, that's not true at all. A, he will be 24 by the time summer comes. That is older. Perception is important when it comes to marketability and free agency. And he could get hurt. You know, all we need is one outburst from him, and teams might have second thoughts, you know?
Yeah, well, I would agree with you, except for the age part of it, because you're going to get better. 28 to 32. And it may even be with the sophistication of the training and everything that they have nowadays, it may even be 28 to 33 or 4 even. Mm-hmm. Because they it's amazing what they're doing now with the training and sports-specific stuff. And I remember that Jerry West had told me that. I've talked about it before. And certainly I had some of my best years between 28 and 32. And so that 24 is nothing. I mean, he still has a long way to go. I mean, so 20, that's not an issue at all. I don't understand why these guys get all – that's one of the things I don't understand about the NBA, too. In fact, that'll be my – go. It drives me crazy. Let's get
– Oh, are you already? Okay.
Let's give it to me now.
Do you hear it? Okay, we'll go for it.
Okay, here we go. Okay, so here we go. As I say, there's a lot of things that drive me crazy. One of the things is the age situation. Like, you even brought it up. Oh, he's getting old. He's going to be 24. Why did they want to put all of this money – on these guys that they don't even know if they can even play at this level and invest multi-millions of dollars and keep all of these guys who are 20 years old, 19, 20, 21, whatever it may be, and not put any credence on somebody who's a little bit older, who's gone out and played and had some experience somewhere and a little older and he's a little smarter. He's been around the block a few times. I'd rather have a guy who's 25, 26, 27 years old as opposed to a 19, 20, or 21-year-old. I mean, especially filling out your other roster spots. What do I need a whole bunch of 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old guys who are wet behind the ears, who don't really know the game of basketball the way they think they do, who certainly don't know the pro game? Give me some guys who've been around, who've played a little bit, who've had some experience, and are a little more mature. I'd rather have those guys, especially if you're looking at somebody, because initially they may not be a star or anything, so, you know, come on, have some guys there, especially the 8, 9, you know, the 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, you know, I got 16, 17 guys. You got a ton of guys over there. Everybody's not going to be a star type of player. True. Why in the world do you not look for guys who are quality people, who know the game, don't have glaring weaknesses, will never be a problem for you, can represent your team in an absolutely positive fashion, and have those kinds of individuals on your roster spot instead of guys that all think they should be a star, who all want to be one-on-one specialists? Get a guy who knows how to play.
And Rick, there's just a lot of stupidity in positions of power in the NBA. You know, the Knicks are a great example of this. I don't know if you saw that trade.
They got rid of their president. They did, just out of the blue, they fired their GM.
Supposedly, the president. Or the president, I apologize.
It was the president.
Yeah. President of basketball operations, Steve Mills. So they fired him. You're right. But they're pursuing D'Angelo Russell. And they're making these asinine proposals that the Warriors are going to reject every time. It's insane. It is absolutely insane. And on top of that, they're pursuing D'Angelo Russell now. And they're going to have to give up so many assets when they never made an offer during the offseason for him when he was a free agent. Why would you do that? I know he was a restricted free agent. You could have still made an offer and the Nets would have never matched because they couldn't. They were bringing in Durant and Kyrie. They couldn't give him that max offer. The Knicks could have just simply offered him a contract. Now they have to give up all these first round picks and their best players. Yeah, there is just a lot of stupidity.
Nobody said there's a lot of rocket scientists involved in it.
You know, speaking of young players, what do you think about this little beef between Andre Iguodala?
Very immature and silly.
Agreed.
I mean, it's so ridiculous. First of all, here's the deal. If I'm the GM, why would I play him? I got a bunch of young people. I'm trying to develop a team and all. Why would I take time away from a young player who could have time on the court, evaluate him and maybe a couple other guys, give him a chance to see what I have so I can make a determination as to whether I want to keep him around, if they're going to be a part of my future, knowing full well that Andre's only going to be there for this season anyway, and what difference is it going to make to the team?
I agree. Do you want to hear from Stephen A. Smith on this?
Oh my, yeah, sure.
I know you have your issues at times with him. He came out in defense of Andre Iguodala.
I love Ja Morant. I'm a fan. Dylan Brooks can ball. I like him a lot, but they need to do their homework.
Oh, sorry, it's fine.
According to what I have been told, the Grizzlies have never met with Andre Iguodala.
Can you see it on your screen?
Him.
I can't even turn it full up because I don't have my thing. Trying to even find and get back to my screen where I even have.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, then forget. Anyway, so who cares? It was just Stephen A. Smith, but he came out and just said, look, show some respect.
We'll just talk about it. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
Here you go. So talk about it. Go ahead.
So Ja Morant is a rookie, and I don't know what year his teammate is who originally made these comments, but they're basically upset and they feel slighted that Andre Iguodala just doesn't want to play for the Grizzlies. But it's like, you know what? He made an agreement with the organization. He was traded there in the first place simply because of the first round pick they got as part of that deal. I don't get why these folks are speaking out. And what was particularly egregious to me, Rick, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, is that Stephen Curry got involved. He posted a picture of Andre Iguodala holding a championship trophy. Like, that's what this player is for. At this stage of his career, he's chasing chips. He's not chasing an eighth seed with a young team. And Ja Morant responded by posting a picture of Kevin Durant holding a finals MVP trophy, basically a jab to Steph Curry saying, hey, well, you're not winning finals MVP awards. Like, that's what you have to do in order to talk to me. And that there's so much arrogance there. There's such a lack of respect and class there.
No, what it is, it's immaturity.
It is immaturity.
They're 20-year-old people. I mean, seriously. I mean, I remember I used to, you're immature. I'm not immature. Then when you get old, you realize how immature you are in your 20s. It's immaturity.
It really truly is.
And social media is the bane of, I mean, it's
it,
is. Just,
it perpetuates
oh,
this, yeah.
God, it just makes it even worse than it ever was before. Same old thing. And this kind of stuff. What do you need to even talk about that for? What bearing does that have on you as a player and your team to have to go out and talk about it in public? Just deal with it and move on. Do your job to the best of your ability. And who cares? And it's actually better. It's better for your team to let him to be doing this rather than him coming in there wanting to play, taking time away from someone, knowing he's going to leave after a year at the most, and you're taking away all of this valuable experience from the other players on your team, and especially from the standpoint of the general manager or the coach to evaluate those players, getting that time to see what they can and can't do. Just like for the Warriors looking at this, this is an evaluation season. They're evaluating people, and they've already made some decisions during the course of this season with the things that they've done based upon the performance of the players. So from a standpoint of a team doing the right thing for the team, it's better that Andre's not playing.
And it's not like Andre's coming out saying anything either. You know, he's just sitting there minding his own business. And then here come the Grizzlies feeling slighted, just coming out attacking him.
Foolish. It's just foolish. That's all it is. It's very, very foolish.
And you're right. It is immature. I do hope at some point they realize how immature they are and how this is just classless. It is a classless act to come out and attack a man 15 years your senior who has accomplished what he's accomplished in this game just because he does not want to play with you. Get over it. It's ridiculous.
What does this say that I hear about that you have been blocked on Twitter?
Oh, I wanted to. Well, it wasn't just me. So going back to D'Angelo Russell, and this is another reason why I've lost some respect for him in this regard. He's blocking media members who are making trade suggestions. He just doesn't want to hear it, and he blocked me because I've never said a single negative thing about him, at least not personally. I mean, if I've critiqued him, it's been about his actual play, and even then I don't think I've critiqued him other than saying he's a pick and roll player who is 6'2 and not a great defender. That's probably the extent of the negativity I've ever published about D'Angelo Russell on my tiny little Twitter account. Well, he blocked me for it, and I'm not the only one. He just doesn't like hearing it. I he's thin-skinned. You know, to me, someone like that does not win championships. You know, that's my opinion. He blocked me.
It goes back to what we just talked about, immaturity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That is it. Yeah.
I mean, who cares? I mean, seriously, everybody's insane. Here's what you do. I wound up doing this a few times for reporters and stuff. If somebody's really not being fair with you and because they have the last say, you don't ever have a comeback, don't talk to them. I mean, seriously, Don't talk to them. Very simple. And go about your business. And you got to be like a duck. Let the water roll off your back.
Folks, you got to have your junk clean. Hair down there is just not acceptable anymore. Hasn't been for a long time. And the folks at Manscaped are taking care of you with the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. No more nicks and cuts. Ooh, on your balls. Ouch. And their battery is premium now. It lasts up to 90 minutes. They have an LED light, which illuminates grooming areas. They have a charging stand powered by USB. And if you're listening to me speak right now, you're one of the first people to hear about this product, Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BLEAV, that's Believe, short for the Believe Podcast Network, at manscaped.com. Again, go to manscaped.com, and if you use the free shipping code BLEAV, that's short for Believe, or at least the name Believe, but spelled in our way, you get 20% off. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code Believe, BLEAV. You know, speaking of immaturity, there's a rookie on the New Orleans Pelicans named Jason Hayes, who was not selected for the Rising Stars team. Did you hear what he had to say about that?
No, I did not. I don't even pay much attention to that kind of garbage, but go ahead. What did he say?
Listen to this. And if you can't hear it, hopefully you can see the screen. So at least it's playing. All right, here he is.
I worked a bunch of Yo, this is all I'm going to say on the subject, bro, because all y'all want to keep sliding up and shit and saying, oh, you should have made it. Yeah, I should have, bro, but I didn't. So, I mean, it is what it is. NBA is a bunch of bullshit. The NBA can really suck my dick for all I care. I hope y'all see this video, by the way, and find me. But, yeah, man, shit's just crazy to me, bro. I work in a fucking political league that's all about politics, and it is what it is.
You didn't hear it?
No, this all I'm going to say.
All right, there we go.
Didn't hear it, didn't see it.
Oh, so he basically just came out and said the NBA can really suck my Richard for all I care. And just blasted the NBA because he was not selected for the Rising Stars team and just made it public, put it on Twitter. So wherever he put it.
Pull up his stats.
Jackson Hayes. Yeah, sure thing.
Let's pull up his stats. I'm going to go players and get this. Let's take a look at this and we'll evaluate this and see this guy, what he's doing.
Jackson Hayes did apologize for the comments. He's a 6'11 center. So right now he's averaging 8.1 points per game, 4.4 rebounds.
Okay. And what is his shooting percentage?
And his shooting percentage on the year is he's shooting 66%. Not bad. Nice. That's good. Great. How
about free throws?
And the free throw percentage is 62.7.
Okay, well, he's not a shooter, obviously.
But he's a big man. He's 6'11". So
okay, well, so what?
He's making the easy
buck. You should still be able to shoot the ball.
I know.
66%, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Agreed. Typically, the bigger men don't shoot as well, though. But is he? You know, he's making those easy buckets like he's supposed to. But yes, Jackson Hayes. He did apologize for
this. But this, and I'm saying, this is the world we live in. It's the world of entitlement for young people. And it's all taking place when they're younger. They think they're entitled to so much. They have everybody telling them how great they are and this and the other thing. And they get such an inflated opinion about themselves and think they're so terrific. Reality then sometimes sets in. I mean, that's the problem. I'm not going to ever mention any names about stuff. I've experienced that and all that, the inflated opinion that some players have of their skill level and how good they are is mind-boggling to me at times.
Oh, agreed. And it's not just the players. Look at a lot of media members. They have the exact same attitude. They think everything that comes out of their mouth is 100% accurate and 100% right. It's asinine. It is.
Yeah, and it got really worse when all of a sudden it changed from the step that all of the writers, they all started bringing these guys on with all these TV shows and they started to get on TV and it made it even worse. I mean, it's true. You're absolutely right. They do think that they know. I mean, come on. How can one person possibly have expertise in every sport that exists? I mean, they talk as if what they're saying is coming from God himself. I mean, it's mind numbing to me. It really truly is. And so I just have a real difficult time with that. I really do. I have a very difficult time with that. And I listened to that stuff. I said, boy, I wish I could be on that show and have a chance to counter what's being said here, because it's crazy.
It is crazy.
They just talk. But here's the thing. They make it seem like they really know what's going on and they really have all the answers. And I'm just saying to everybody out there, when you listen to all of the talking heads out there, if it's not someone who was a former player and played that sport and is coming on as an expert in that sport, anything being said by the overwhelming majority of those people, don't get overly excited about it. Don't think that it's the definitive answer, because your opinion probably in a lot of situations is probably almost as, you know, as valid as some of those people. Now, it depends on how much you followed the game. But just because you followed the game and you've been involved and you've been a reporter for a long time doesn't make you an expert. You're just another person who's been around a sport who has an opinion, and people just take it for what it's worth. It's an opinion from somebody who really never played the game at that level.
Yeah, and that's it.
And that's what it is. And so, yeah, and that's what it is. So I don't get worked up over it. I do say, like, I do love people. Like some of the people, I will toot his horn forever. I think Tim Legler is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard a lot of people say that. Yeah,
Tim Legler is the way he breaks things down, and when he's doing it with, you know, with Tim's, whatever they call it, the lab or whatever it is. Anyway, he really breaks it down using the telestrator, talking about things that are so meaningful, so informative. I just have great respect for the job that Tim Legler does in his analysis.
I'm with you. And he's very well respected. You know, and just to wrap up a few topics, you know, we've been talking about John Morant a lot. And we also talked about the Knicks a lot. Well, these two stories go together. John Morant complained late last week that, I don't know if you saw this, I don't know if you see my screen right now. He complained after a game there that there was no hot water in the locker room.
Well, try, you know, no hot water, try maybe no soap, try having a shower that hits you about mid-chest.
Oh, this is what you had to deal
with? And then try, you know, where you were so worried about getting the foot funkins in the shower. And you had nails to hang your clothes on in the locker. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. The entitlement.
That's
the
what you had to deal with? When you played? Yes. Oh, my God. That's terrible.
Cyrus.
You know, functioning showers.
When I go someplace and talk to some people and they want to just have a lot of fun, I talk and I give them, I tell them the way it was when I played and the way it is with these guys today and what they get and what we got. And a lot of people are laughing at all. I said, folks, I'm not saying this to be funny. This is the truth. I'm not making this up to try to be a comic. You know, this is what I dealt with and this is what they deal with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different world.
It is.
Totally different world. Cyrus, when we did it, we rented cars and drove ourselves.
Although I guess in Madison Square Garden, some things don't change. Some things stay the same.
And some of the arenas that we played in, I mean, now they have stuff. I mean, it's, as I said, I'd love to be able to come back and experience what they're experiencing, because it's amazing. I mean, I know one of the teams, they have masseuses on staff,
mm-hmm,
who will come to your home and give you and your wife a massage, and you just have to tip them.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
I would have one every day that I every was day. Home. Every day.
Three times a day.
Oh, my God.
I mean, why stop at one?
It's so amazing. But I just don't know how many of these guys really, truly, down deep inside, appreciate how fortunate they are.
Something tells me the Warriors players do. I sense so much humility from them, and that's one of the many reasons why I love this team. I don't sense that level of arrogance and entitlement from the Warriors like I do a lot of some other players. But the cold water thing is kind of ridiculous. But I hear you. I hear you.
Well, in today's world, in a modern arena, you shouldn't have cold water. I mean, seriously.
And I guess it was barely coming out. It was like trickling. It wasn't just that it was cold. It was trickling.
Man. I'll tell you, it's a surprise. As screwed up as California is, then I'm surprised that Warriors haven't had problems with their arena, new arena. But it's a new arena, and they shouldn't have it for all the money that they spent for it and everything. But, you know, hey, if anything's going to happen, New York will be where it'll happen, I guess.
Yeah, the older arenas especially.
But that's an older arena. I mean, it's not a new modern facility anymore. I mean, that's been around for quite some time. And, you know, I played in the real old one, the real Madison Square Garden, which was really a rat hole.
Well, it's the same arena. It's just, it's been remodeled or a lot
no,
of.
No, it's not.
updates with MSG.
No, I didn't know. That's not the arena. It was another arena further uptown. I mean, further uptown. It was a piece of garbage. It was horrible.
With MSG that is there now is not the same.
No.
When did this one get built?
It got built after I played in the other one. I can tell you that.
Well, Rick, I went to a game at MSG maybe like 10 years ago. That place felt and looked old. Like it's been there like 50.
Well, it's been there quite a long time. So
you can
Google and find out when the Madison Square Garden was built. I'm sure it was built decades ago.
That's crazy.
Ago.
I'll look that up. That's fascinating to me. I always thought that was the same building, but you're right.
I mean, the other building was the true Madison Square Garden.
That's crazy.
It was terrible.
That's crazy.
I mean, it was like the old Boston Garden. Both of those things were, obviously the icons, the places to play, play at Boston Garden, Madison Square Garden. And they were rat holes. Even back in 1965, when I came out of college, they were rat holes. And then they were rat holes. And they were around for years after.
Oh, man.
I mean, seriously. I mean, the things they have today and the practice facilities that these guys have. And you know what we used to do with our valuables? We'd put them in a sock or have some of that little tape, and you wrap your stuff up, give them to the trainer. They collect them in a big bag and take it and I guess get it somewhere where they can get it locked up. Now they have all of these inside. You have these incredible lockers even on the road, and they have your own personal safe to put them into with the combination and everything. I mean, it's astonishing. It really is astonishing the things that they have and, sauna, Oh yeah, go into even my son. I was just visiting my son, and I want to talk about something that I saw there in a second here.
Yeah, please do.
Well, I'm going in the cool pub. The cool tub or the cold tub or whatever.
Okay.
What cold tub? We had a metal thing that had a stupid little machine with a little thing sticking in it that you had to try to fit yourself into. That was the whirlpool. you just can't even imagine what it was like. It's amazing. So what I saw when I was up visiting him up in Des Moines for the Des Moines Wolves Timberwolves team playing is that I had not seen it. I had read about it and heard about it, this new rule that they're trying with the free throw thing, and I didn't really have a problem with it, where you take one free throw for 2 points. If you get fouled in a 3-point shot, it's one free throw for 3 points. And I didn't have a problem dealing with it. I mean, I could see where, as a team, you probably would have the guy, hey, if I foul them and doing it, I want to have to see him make all three. Because if you might make that first one, they get 3 points. The chances are a lot of guys might not make all three of those free throws. So I'm sure that some of the coaches would probably have an issue with that. And then in the last 2 minutes, whatever happens, you actually shoot the free throws. But I think it's a way to go and take some time off and speed the game up so it's not taking forever.
Well, they talked
shooting the free throws.
They've talked about implementing that free throw rule into the NBA.
Right, they're testing it out to see how it's going. That's what they're doing in the G League.
You are the connoisseur of free throws. You're considered one of the greatest free throw shooters ever. Do you like this rule? I mean, are you a fan of it?
Well, I was just saying the one detriment to it, I think, would be the fact that if you're playing and you happen to foul a guy over there, I would, as a coach, would want to have that guy have to make all three,
right,
to get 3 points.
So,
whereas he can get lucky and may make his first one and he gets 3 points, and chances are he might have maybe only made two of those three.
I've heard people call this rule the James Harden rule because of the fact that Harden goes to the line so many times. And
I used to go 12 or 13 times a game when I first came in the league.
Right, but you're not overly reliant on it, right? You're not doing gimmicky tactics to get to the line, like flailing your legs, like the flopping.
Yeah.
Initiating
he is a little bit over the edge.
You got hacked. I'm guessing when you got fouled, you earned that foul. I don't see him earning it. But anyways, that's besides the point. But they call this James Harden rule because Harden, I mean, he's not a bad free throw shooter, but the majority of the free throws he misses are the high pressure ones. Right. So if he's going up for an and one specifically for a free throw, right, he's somehow and late games, those are the ones he misses the most. So the theory is that by putting that much more pressure on that one free throw.
Well, he has to. But late in the game, you have to shoot him.
Oh, so they still keep him for the last two minutes.
Okay. The last 2 minutes, you have to shoot them all.
Because supposedly with this rule, each free throw, because it's worth more, there's also more pressure that goes with it. So a lot of players are missing them.
Well, I saw the other one. The other team missed a bunch of them that really hurt them while they wound up still winning the game, which was crazy. But
right. That's
a whole other story. But the thing is that you if you miss that first free throw, you're giving up 2 points.
Right. Exactly. So, and same with the 3-point one, right?
Right. I mean, if you're giving up three. If you miss the first one, you get nothing.
So when you saw three free throws you saw, like the 3-point fouls, like how many of those did you see, and how many, what was the ratio?
I didn't see, there wasn't that many where they fouled somebody. You don't get a lot of fouls normally on 3-point shots and all. But the thing is that it is a situation where the team gets hurt badly. The team that misses gets hurt badly. Whereas at the opposing coach, and you did foul him, I would want them to have to make all three, because most guys, a good portion of them, I would say, I don't know what the statistical is because I don't follow that closely and try to figure it out. But to make three free throws in a row for a lot of guys, it's not an easy thing for people to do. And so if you can get away with them only getting two instead of three, that's great. Whereas if they make that first one, they get all three. And if they miss it, man, then you really gain. Okay. So maybe you like it that way. Say, hey, I'll take my chances, because if the guy misses it, we're going to get, 3 points that they lose instead of him maybe making the next two. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword that you're playing with. It's just a matter of where your head lies and how you think about it.
Right.
So I don't know, but I didn't have an issue watching the game with it being done that way.
Was it faster? Did it go by faster?
I don't know. That's why they're keeping stats on it. I'm sure there's statistics looking at how long the games are taking.
Interesting.
Based upon the fact that this is part of the rule that's being implemented and seeing if the games are taking less time. I don't know. It's always interesting tinkering with things. I mean, but the thing that was, like you say, that I was talking about driving me crazy, and that's is when they put in rules to try to protect the guys who are the bad free throw shooters. I mean, hey, if you got a guy that's bad in every other sport, I've talked about this many times in doing interviews, it is ludicrous to put in a rule to protect the guy, any player, any competitor, to protect him if he's lousy at a certain skill in the game.
Yeah.
Because what do you do as an offense, as a coach? You try to exploit the weaknesses of your opponent. And if they have a weakness, why in the world is the game itself putting in a rule to protect that weakness? That makes no freaking sense.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, so figure it out. Well, do it. Like I say, well, hey, this guy's not a great guy on the deep ball in football. Okay. Well, you can't throw more than two passes in the game to him. come on. I mean, give me a break. Baseball, the guy can't hit the curveball. Okay, well, you can only throw two curveballs to him. Stupid.
It is stupid.
Absolutely stupid.
Rick, anyway. I keep looking. We're recording this on a Wednesday. It's about 3:20 right now. I keep looking to see if any trades have been made so we can talk about it before we're done recording. The All-Star teams were announced. You want to talk about the snubs real quick? If anyone in your opinion was snubbed?
I don't really care, because it's just a freaking exhibition anyway. It doesn't matter.
Unless you talk about the money.
How many guys do they have?
Yeah, but the money.
Well, now they're supposedly donating.
No. I don't mean that. I mean, a lot of these players have bonuses in their contracts.
I see. Yeah. Well, that's stupid on the team's part anyway. Say, look, I'm paying you millions of dollars. You should make the freaking All-Star team.
Well, let me ask you this, Rick. Do you think Devin Booker was snubbed?
I don't know about being snubbed. I mean, he's a nice player doing it, but I mean, his team started off great. Now they're not doing so good.
Right.
And there's a lot of great guards in the Western Conference.
We made USA.
So,
but Rick, you made the point repeatedly that for the All-Star game, it shouldn't be about how your team's doing. It's about your individual stats.
Yeah, no, the All-Star game should have nothing to do with, it should have nothing to really do with whether your team is winning or not.
Right.
It should be your performance. Are you an All-Star performer? Are you playing at a level that deserves special recognition?
Right. So should the top 10 scorers in the NBA basically automatically
qualify? It's not just scoring.
Because Devin Booker is eighth in the league in scoring.
Yeah.
He's averaging, I guess, maybe 6.3 assists. I don't think that's bad. He's shooting.
No. 6.3 is a nice number.
That is. He's averaging over 50% from the field.
Yeah.
What
about threes?
And his, I don't think it's bad. Let me look at it real quick. It's his 3-point shooting this year is only 36.3.
Not only 36.3 is good shooting.
So in that case,
36% is very acceptable. I mean, I'm saying, when you get up to the 40 range, now you're really talking about being one of the elite shooters.
Yeah.
But 36 is very good. 33 is equivalent to 50%.
Right.
So to me, the break even is, that's why I always said 30%. If you can't shoot at least 30%, you have no business ever taking a 3-point shot unless the clock's running out. Okay? Don't even let the thought enter your head.
So let me ask you this. And Andrew Wiggins this year is shooting exactly 33% right now from the 3-point line.
Okay, that's okay. As I said, he's not a good 3-point. He's not a great 3-point shooter.
But he's not
horrible. He's okay. He's good. I mean, you can accept it. That's 50% from twos. You can live with that.
That's right.
But I said he's not up in the category of the other guys who were in 40s or high 30s.
Right.
So I'm just saying, I'm not saying he's not a good three-point shooter.
Yeah.
He's just not as good as I'd like him to be if he's going to play for the Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah. So Devin Booker, anyways, is one of the big names mentioned as being a snub. And I think that's it from the West. I didn't see any other names really in the Western Conference being mentioned, but the Eastern Conference had a huge name mentioned as a snub, and that's Bradley Beal. Beal is actually averaging more than Trae Young is in terms of scoring. Beal is second in the NBA in scoring overall. Now he's fourth. I'm sorry. I think he was second at the time. Is he a snub? Should he have gotten in? I mean, you look at the names of who got in over him, and is Bradley Beal, is it worth it to not include, let's say, Kyle Lowry or Bam Adebayo? You know, I don't know. I don't know if that's a snub or not. What do you think? Like, should he have gotten in? I mean, he wasn't very happy, understandably.
Well, you know, obviously you could be disappointed, but yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, but he is playing well. I mean, almost 30 points a game.
Amazing. He's playing fantastic.
Almost five. Here's the thing that's good. Almost five rebounds a game, which is that's a very impressive statistic for somebody 6'3" and 6.3 assists. So I would say that he has a legitimate gripe, without question.
Yeah. We make USAA really nice insurance stuff. For busy
30 points, five rebounds, and six assists. It's pretty impressive.
It is.
And so I think what happens is a lot of times they took into account maybe another guy in a team that's doing better. But the thing is, you don't do it by yourself. And if you don't have good teammates, your team may not do that well. And so it should be based on the performance. So I'd have to see all of the guys at that position that were picked and compare them statistically to one another and see, you know, who, you know, where they stand. That would be the best way to do it.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, I don't care that much about that stuff. You know, I mean, seriously, I mean, it's nice to play well and doing everything, especially, I mean, get the recognition and do it and all. But I can't, I just don't like what's happened. I'm happy that they're putting these new rule changes. I'm really looking forward to seeing, and I may even watch. I'll record and watch and see if it really does have an impact on the way the guys go after it because of the monies involved with the charities and stuff and actually having each quarter have a significance. So I like that aspect. I think that was – they came up with an interesting concept, and let's see how it plays out.
Rick, my one issue with this is that it is not easily explained. I mean, this is not a simple format. Could you explain to everyone
it's
listening?
It's pretty simple.
All right, go for it. What is it?
I mean, they have charities involved.
What does that mean, charities?
You mean to donate money? Okay. $300,000 for every quarter, I think it is.
But what the format of the game itself? How is this going to work?
They're going to play each quarter, whoever wins the quarter, $300,000 will go to that charity. So there's money on the line for this, okay?
Okay.
Then that's each one of the quarters. And then you take the total amount of points that they have to start the fourth quarter, because each quarter is individual. Mm-hmm. But at the start of the fourth quarter, you add up the three quarters for each team. Okay. And then so then they have to go and they have to score 24 points. The first team to score 24 points, I think it is, in the fourth quarter. Let me see. I think I have it on my phone, the whole thing. I think I kept that.
Rick, and that is my entire issue with this thing is the fact that
It is. What? You know what? Here's the deal. Who cares? They're going to explain it on television anyway. So you can just watch it. They're going to go over it. They'll list it all. They'll tell you, here's the deal. Here's what's going to happen. Let's take a serious look at it.
So I have it in front of me here. It says at the start of the fourth quarter, the game clock will be turned off.
Right.
And a final target score will be set. In other words, whoever reaches this score first wins. And the final target score is determined by taking the leading team's total cumulative score through three quarters and adding
24 points to it because in honor of Kobe. And so that team has to score 24 points to win. The other team may have to score more if they're trailing by 6 or 8 or 10. They have to score 34 and get to that number before the other team does.
So you're saying you're taking the difference? I still don't get it. So let's say the leading team has scored 100 points through three quarters.
Right.
How many do they need to score in the fourth?
In the fourth quarter, 124 would be the total. 24 points added onto that leading score. So
in
quarter? 24 points.
No, plus the 100.
There's no quarter.
So you're saying the first team to get to 124 wins?
Isn't that a lot? Yes, but they already have 100. Oh. So now they're going to play that quarter, and when they score 24 points, they will win that quarter. If the other team had 96, they've got to score 28 points to win the game.
I see. So the team who's behind has to reach that. Okay, I get it.
Has
now.
To reach the now. Number 24 points more than the team that's ahead. They have to get 24 points. They have to the team that's leading has to score 24 points in that last quarter.
Let me ask you this, part of it. Here was my proposal for the All-Star game. What if you went back old school, made it East versus West, but you awarded every player in the winning team $5 million each, just cash? Wouldn't you have a group of 12 players playing their asses off trying to win? I don't know. I mean, $5 million. I mean, if that's my guess. That's my proposal. I think you would have a great game.
Well, they're never going to do it. I mean, it's too much freaking money. I mean, it's too much money, and it's crazy. And I mean, and even if you put the dollars on it, I mean, even for them, I mean, for these guys, they're making so much money.
I know.
I think it's about the money.
But $5 million is a lot. Even if you are like LeBron, I think that's still a decent amount of you'd want that $5 million. You know, you'd actually be playing hard for it. I would think
that you would. I would hope that you would. I know that I would.
You know,
hell, I was killing myself for a couple of thousand.
I don't know if you saw this, by the way. It's the same individual who brought up the ball apocalypse, right? His name is Rob Perez. He's got a great Twitter account. He's Worldwide Wob. He made a fascinating proposal. And I think you would love this too, but I'd love to hear what a Hall of Famer would have to say on this idea. That part of All-Star Weekend is an event called the one-on-one grudge match, where basically every individual feud you have in the NBA, and a perfect example of this would be Dame Lillard versus Russell Westbrook, right? Two star players who just really do not like each other that much, and have them play a one-on-one game.
No.
The people would want it.
The people might want it, but you could. You know, that's not what the game is. Not about one on one. Although the way game is played now, there's so much freaking one on one. I almost want to throw up. No, seriously. I mean, I was taught how to play the game the way the game was designed to be played.
Right.
And the teams that win championships generally play the game that way. Mm-hmm. For the majority of the game. On offense and defense, they do the things you're supposed to do. I think that's the redeeming thing about the NBA, despite all the garbage that you see out there and the stuff that if you really are a purist and love the game the way it was designed to be, that's the one redeeming quality. There's no team in all the years that I've watched and been involved in the sport in all different aspects have I seen a team win a championship that wasn't one of the better defensive teams and played unselfishly.
Yeah.
And then and played like a team.
It's very
too
true.
Much one-on-one. There's just so much. It's just, I mean, even when watching my son's game over there, and it was so funny. They played unbelievable the first game I saw on Saturday. They scored like 130 points. Even some of the guys and saying, oh, that was so much fun. I mean, they passed. They may have had, and this is what I love more than anything. They had in that game, I've never seen a game ever. And I've seen a lot of games in my life. Where I saw as many great passes on back cuts for baskets. Cyrus, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was beautiful to watch. Absolutely beautiful to watch how they moved without the ball. It was, I said, wow, this is great. This is great basketball. And then they go out and play the next game. They start out doing the thing and nice and do it. And then all of a sudden back and they put the subs in back to the one-on-one garbage. And it's just, I don't like watching that. I really don't.
I agree. And I think that's why no one likes watching the Rockets. That's all they play. You know, it's just a lot of one-on-one. You don't see that ball movement, that championship teams.
Occasionally you do though. Occasionally you'll see it. Yeah, occasionally. But the thing is, here's the thing. It's so much more fun to watch. But I'm telling you, as a player, it's so much more fun to play that way. To know you can get involved, to be willing to go ahead and put the extra effort in, to learn how to set your man up properly, to know that if you do something special and get yourself open, that your teammate's going to get the ball to you.
Mm-hmm. It's fun. To me, it's the most fun to watch, too. I feel like players like Jordan were the exception to –
But Jordan was different. They ran the triangle offense. They did 5 seconds to go. If they didn't get something, then they gave the ball to Michael. You can still do the same thing now. Push it up the floor.
Yes.
That's the whole thing. Push it, push it, push it. Move, cut, pass. Then you have a guy, because the guys all can do it anyway. They all could get create. Most of them can create their own shot. When you get to 5 seconds, the guy, give the ball to one of your guys that can do that, and now you get a shot. But ideally, you don't want to have to do that. But to come down and walk it up the floor and have one guy have it in his hands for 18, 20, 21 seconds of the 24-second clock, that's ludicrous.
You can't handle the truth.
People can't handle the truth, Rick. I just played some chat because you're having audio issues, or we are for this episode. Sounds good.
Yeah, well, anyway, it is what it is. It's going to be fun to see what happens. We'll talk more about what happens with the final trades that are going to take place and see if anything major comes to pass. And then we could talk a little bit about the where they stand going into All-Star when we talk on the next show prior to the All-Star game. I'm not even calling All-Star game. To the All-Star weekend. That's all I'm saying.
Are you involved?
I refuse to call it a game. Until they show me that if maybe this format will work and change it a little bit, because what I've watched over the last decades or so is appalling to me. It really truly is. And I think most players and the guys that I know when I'm around, especially when I'm doing the Big Three stuff and coaching around George Gervin and Peyton and these guys and all, they all feel the same way. The older guys all feel the same way because it had meaning. It had significance. Mm-hmm. It was something you looked forward to that you're proud of being a part of. And now, I mean, if they could get out of it, they probably would get out of it, most of them.
That's interesting, huh? Are you involved this year in the All-Star game? Are they bringing you in for anything?
No. Nope. So, and this as well, Chicago in February.
Yeah, forget that.
I think I'll stay down here. I'll be playing a little pickleball.
There you go.
I'm doing a little opening for my Vijuvia Life Centers that I'm doing. Oh, by the way, people, you know, check it out if you'd like to do it. I just did a couple more. The cameo.com.
Mm.
I'm doing the video messages for people. It's kind of fun. Actually, this one came from some people from China.
Interesting.
The last one I just did. Yeah, there's some people from China. So, that's kind of an interesting format that they have there, kind of do to get a little bit of a connection with the fans.
Yeah.
Kind of nice. So, enjoy that. And, so
Cameo?
You have a cameo.com.
Cameo.com.
Yeah, cameo.com.
And it's a great way, again, for if you just want a personalized message from NBA Hall of Famer Rick Barry. People can follow Rick Barry on social media on all platforms at Rick24Barry. You can follow me on Twitter at DocSurfRoadshow. We were supposed to do a show today with the folks at Warriors Huddle. It was just a scheduling snafu. We will nail this at some point. Bram seems like a great guy, and I'd love to have another person to throw feedback at. Rick, always a pleasure, sir.
And well, hopefully we can do that. Maybe we'll do that next week, and we can talk about a whole bunch of other things with them as well, and we'll get a little more insight from them who are so totally immersed in what's going on with the Warriors. So it'll be nice to get their take on what they think is transpiring over there. So everybody, have a great have a great week and weekend coming up, and God bless everyone and their family. For Cyrus Atchus and Warriors 24, this is Rick Barry saying so long.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.